You're listening to the Stock Day Podcast. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and YouTube for breaking news and actionable market intelligence on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Today's episode is sponsored by Knightscope. The rise of the robots is happening, and it's happening now. Knightscope is deploying AI robots to help make the U.S. the safest country in the world. Join us and be a force for good. Visit Knightscope.com/rise. Long Knightscope, short the criminals.
On today's show, my guest is President and Chief Operating Officer David Bradford of Deep Green Waste and Recycling, Inc. Deep Green Waste and Recycling, Inc. trades on the OTC markets under the trading symbol DGWR. Deep Green provides sustainable waste and recycle management services that minimizes costs based on volume and content of waste streams and methods of disposal, including landfills, transfer stations, and recycling centers. Mr. Bradford brings 3 decades of successful customer-based operating experience to the team, as well as many years of participation, guidance, and oversight in numerous debt and equity financings, acquisitions, and strategic restructuring. David, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you. So I'd like to get started with a little background information from you, if I may, please. Tell us a little bit about Deep Green's evolution from environmental services to waste brokerage, and then, you know, maybe help me and the audience understand the difference between waste brokerage and environmental services.
Oh, sure. Well, Deep Green has historically, up until 2021, been a managed service or a waste brokerage company for large commercial clients. Designing waste programs for them, and then negotiating, providing end user debris removal services, and we would do that with third party providers. We're essentially brokers. We would design a program to save clients money, and then go out and renegotiate all of their waste contracts with the haulers, and wind up saving them money and taking a little bit of margin for ourselves. In the process of doing that for a few years, I got very covetous of the gross profit margins of those end providers. As a broker, you're looking at 15, 20, 23% gross profit margins. And it's a pretty competitive environment. There's several competitors in that. As we were looking at that, we were looking at ways to grow Deep Green, and became really enamored with environmental services, particularly construction, renovation, debris removal, e-waste, other forms of hazardous waste. And I was particularly struck by what seemed to be the huge growth opportunity in environmental services. It's a very attractive field. As all of the larger metro areas are expanding beyond the perimeters, the 4-8 or the all of those loops of interstates that go around the cities. A lot of new construction through the 80s and 90s, new facilities. And then the phenomenon at the turn of the century was reclaiming all of those downtown structures and repurposing them and gutting them and turning them into multi-use, retail on the bottom, multifamily on the top. Hospitals were gobbling up a lot of that infrastructure, and anything that has to be renovated or rebuilt or repurposed or even demolished Most of that inner city infrastructure was built in the 1950s, 1960s. It's full of asbestos, lead, things that provide a great opportunity for an environmental services company to take advantage of. So we were very intrigued about that. The companies that we were using were always busy. They had exceptionally high gross profit margins, and they were always in demand. And so as a result, after considerable research and vetting all kinds of opportunities, we decided to focus on that and kind of change the focus of the company overall. Particularly with asbestos, lead, and its ancillaries, mold, radon. Radon has become a pretty good thing for us. So, you know, it just made purpose. It made perfect sense of the very high gross profit. It's a fragmented industry for a lot of smaller companies. Those are mostly family owned. They're always in transition. As a consolidation model, I was previously in telecommunications and spent a lot of time in secondary, tertiary markets and cable television and terrestrial internet infrastructure. And it models out like that as a consolidation model. So we made our first acquisition in late 2021, and that was Lyell Environmental. We closed that out and spent most of 2022 just learning the metrics, understanding the unit economics, working through all of the certifications. It's another bright thing about this industry. There are significant barriers to entry for a lot of folks because of the accreditation and the certification. It takes a long time to get that put together. So we put all that together and worked through 2022, modernizing the management and information systems to accommodate growth. And most importantly, cultivating the significant commercial client base that existed in Lyell. And the result of all of that investment in time and resources was the ultimate award of this contract for this Oxford House project.
Yeah, let's get into that. You were telling me a little bit about that project before our conversation, and it sounds like quite an extensive. Are you focused in the southern states of the U.S., or that just happens to be where you've wound up this first big project launching?
Well, we've decided to kind of confine ourselves to what I consider the southeastern United States, pretty much east of the Mississippi, south of the Ohio River. We have acquisition targets as far south as Florida, along the Atlantic coast, and several opportunities to basically clone the Lyell operation in other cities like Birmingham, Charlotte, Frankfort and Lexington, Kentucky, Atlanta. So, you know, when you're on a consolidation path and you want to clone something, the first thing you want to do is make sure that you're cloning something profitable that you understand. Revenue is one thing, but good unit economics and gross profit is the engine that drives everything.
And it sounds like that's what Vanderbilt has been for you. So tell us more about Oxford House and that whole project.
Well, Oxford House, we've been doing work as a subcontractor to a corporate contractor who does who handles all of the facilities for Vanderbilt University Medical Center and several others. But we had not landed a $2 million project before. And this one, just based on developing the relationship with the general contractor and with the Vanderbilt folks, they turned us loose with this one. Oxford House is a 12-story building in the heart of downtown Nashville. It's tucked in right in the middle of the complex. It was built in the 50s. Basically was overcrowded and the medical center is growing like crazy. So they decided to demolish this building and replace it with something a lot more modern and a lot larger. Less toxic. It was built in the 50s. It was originally the first black dormitory for Vanderbilt University. And it was located downtown. It had some very particular architectural and construction aspects to it, which do not allow it to be taken down with explosives or anything like that. It literally has to be taken apart floor by floor. And our job there is to remove everything that contains asbestos from the first floor to the 12th floor. We're working from the top down. so that the demolition can take place. And it's about a 20-week project. It'll last through the end of the year. The gross profits are in excess of 50%. So that's money we won't have to go out and borrow necessarily. It kind of changes the dynamic for Deep Green, in that it puts us in a situation where we don't necessarily have to use convertible notes or any of the dilutive instruments that we had to suffer through in the early going. So we'll have a war chest that we can really leverage to expand the horizons of the Lyell market, as well as put into place some of the cloning that we want to do.
So the Vanderbilt project was really the kind of like signaling that you had arrived. It was the largest feather in the company cap to date. And then, so that's propelling all the forward growth considerations from here.
Yeah, that's correct. We've had $100,000, $200,000 projects. But we had not had a $2 million project to work with so far.
And you had already scaled the company through the waste brokerage services to be prepared. And then it was an acquisition of Lyell, correct? Is that
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you're looking at other companies as well in that space. So the team is headquartered in the Southeast United States as well. You're in the Atlanta area.
Yes, I spend about half my time in the Nashville area. It's a 3-hour drive basically from here. And our chairman is located in South Carolina. He's only a couple hours away as well. So we're on site and present, and we want to expand into the Atlanta market as well. So
if someone chose to track your company or to hang with, invest, and be kept aware of your progress, what might they expect in the next 6, 12 months, 24, 48 months? Like how are you planning out your plan of attack going forth here?
Well, the first step is to expand within and around the Nashville metro area. There's opportunity for organic growth of probably 40%, maybe more, just inside the Nashville market. We're also getting business now quite a bit from Memphis, a lot in the Huntsville, Alabama area. We haven't set up satellites there, but that's part of the plan for 2024, as well doing a couple of little tuck-in acquisitions within that market. We did one last year of a very small company. It was Able Environmental. His focus was radon. And radon escapes attention quite a bit, but particularly in markets that are hilly or mountainous, homes, residences, and businesses, we had a lot of residential real estate transactions that have to have radon clearance before, and those can be anywhere from $2,000, $4,000, $5,000, occasionally a $7,000 job, but they're, it's very active, and along with that, the fellow we brought in, who we bought the company from, has lead certification, so we've outfitted ourselves with all the equipment to do lead as well. And we have not bid on any of the larger projects for lead because they can be quite sizable. with part of the proceeds from the Oxford House and a little bit of war chest that puts together for us, we can expand into that as well.
Is there an environmentalism component to environmental services? Do you look at it that way? If someone's interested in green technologies and environmentalism in general, is there a component here?
Well, insofar as we're ridding these markets of asbestos and lead, I look at that as being a worthy environmental cause. We haven't really gotten into, and we're really not set up to, address carbon footprints, try to figure out what to do with plastic, although it's very interesting and might be something we ultimately get involved with. That would involve partnering up with somebody who actually knows quite a bit about that, but it's a natural extension.
Right, and you're inching closer to the ocean the further south you go.
That's correct.
Yeah. Any last notes that you'd like to leave for our audience and people who are interested in potentially investing in the company, checking out what you're up to, and staying in touch?
Well, the only thing I will say, without getting into any kind of prognostication that would get me in trouble, is that I think 2024 is going to be a very exciting year. Our capital structure will be much healthier than it ever has been before. The balance sheet is cleaning up, and the main thing is keep this cash flow engine rolling, because cash flow feeds everything. So what you can look for us to do next year is, hopefully double, triple the revenue and the gross profit lines if everything goes according to plan, and quite possibly score a reasonable sized acquisition or two. So it should be good.
Fantastic. My guest today has been President and Chief Operating Officer David Bradford of Deep Green Waste and Recycling, Inc. Deep Green Waste and Recycling, Inc. trades on the OTC markets under the trading symbol DGWR. And for more information on the company, you can visit them online at deepgreenwaste.com. David, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the show, and I look forward to having you back with us again for another episode very soon.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it very much.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Spotlight Media Corporation, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when investing to determine investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.